Well, today, I'll go to slide one. Today, we're going to continue. Where do we go from here? Where are we going? It's a journey with our Holy Spirit. If you remember, I'm not sure what they did with my desk, but if you remember the desk that I have, every day we are in class. Class is in session. Every day we are to have a humble heart, open ears, attentive to the Lord's voice, that we are listening to what the Spirit is saying. What the Spirit is telling us, what the Spirit's going to tell us tonight, you and I get to choose whether we take it in or whether we reject it. You know, in through one ear, out the other, or do we actually jot some things down, highlight some things, and then actually put it into practice, actually put it into prayer. Put what into prayer? Scripture into prayer. And so we're going to discuss about that. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture. If you want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, put a bookmark there or your finger there, but we're going to go there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and going on to verse 7. We're going to look at those verses, but tonight we're going to apply Scripture in our service. We already did. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We've praised Him. We've worshiped Him. Hopefully that you've put all the things and the issues going on in your life, the dreaded of what's going to happen tomorrow. Some of you students, you get to sleep in. No school tomorrow. But some of you others have to go to work. And so, you know, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking to Almighty God, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, looking even to His Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us in all truth. You are worthy to worship. You are worthy to be praised. So we've already done that, but we're going to apply Scripture to our service by looking at Scripture, then taking a moment and seeing how it affects our life. What does this that God is saying to me, that God is saying here on this piece of paper, how is it applying to my situation? But we're also going to look at what's going on in Scripture, how it's applying to the people that are being written to and God's word being shared. So we're going to take a moment in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at those scriptures, and I'm going to give opportunities for people to shout out some responses to the verse, so be ready for that. And we want to be able to look at what the Spirit is revealing to us. This is what Bible reading is about. It's not just putting a check mark. It's not just looking spiritual. It's not just feeling spiritual. It's actually reading what God is saying, asking the Holy Spirit, what are you revealing to me today? What do I need to know? What is my bread for the day? What is my nugget of truth? And what am I to do with this? And so the Spirit will reveal God's word to you. And the Spirit maybe has revealed something to you before in this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and gives you an opportunity. This is a good thing. Those of us that are mature in the faith, we might have, you know, how many of you could say you've read John 3:16 over 10 times? And God has revealed over 10 things out of that one verse. Over the course of years, God is revealing stuff. And so it's not just something that's stale. Anybody ever take a bite of some stale bread? You didn't know it was stale till later on, till after you bit it. French bread, the baguettes, they get like that on the outside, real crunchy. You leave it out, you know, out in the open. Nobody puts it back in the fridge. It gets all hard. You can whack somebody in the head, knock them out. But that's not what the daily bread that God gives us. The daily bread that He gives us is moist. It's edible. It's something to chew on, something to munch on, something to take in, and it nourishes us. And so our teacher, Holy Spirit, is always at work, willing to lead us in truth with truth, to refrain from the lies and the flesh, to renew our minds in and with righteousness. And so go to slide 2. This is a verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm going to read in the New King James Version. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A great scripture to take personally. A great scripture to take personally because you are responsible to do this. Be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Nobody can present you approved to God. You present yourself before God, approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when we look at this verse, hopefully you're saying, okay, what am I doing to become a better student of God's word? Because it's telling me to be diligent. And it was interesting what Shannon was saying about, you know, coming to church and having an excitement and preparing ourselves. A lot of us, we have done so many things that we are better at. Okay? For some of you, there might be something that you cannot do. As easy as it looks on YouTube, you cannot do it. You know, you might mess up or you've already done it before, but some of you that have been doing things over and over and over, you have become almost, you're no longer a novice. Changing in the oil, you're no longer a novice. You don't actually have to worry about the oil spilling all over the driveway or in the garage. You're a novice. You're not a novice. You've probably done that before. Okay, I've spilled oil before. I had to go find somebody who had cats, had kitty litter, you know, had to sprinkle that on my driveway. And so I'm at a point where I look at a lot of YouTube videos and I try to learn some things, and some things I've done right. Other things I've had to ask people to come over and come and help. I've had to hire somebody to actually fix certain things that I messed up. But this is something that when we look at this verse, you are responsible to present yourself approved to God. You got to be diligent. Diligent at what? Diligent at knowing what His word says. Diligent at taking His word for what it says and putting it into practice. So what are you doing to present yourself approved to God? Those are two of the questions. What am I doing to become a better student of God's word? And what am I doing to present myself approved? Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought Jesus makes us acceptable to God. So why do I have to approve my... Jesus already did that. Sure. Yes, He did. True. But there is a life that we must walk renewed and straight according to the Holy Scriptures. So just because of what Jesus did and you accepted Christ and you said that prayer doesn't mean you don't do anything else. Here, this verse says we are to be diligent. Diligent to present ourselves approved to God. At the fact that our minds are being renewed, not weekly, not monthly, daily, Scripture says, that our minds will be renewed and that we would walk straight according to Holy Scripture. Just last week, if you've been reading in James about becoming a doer and a hearer of the word, we can become a hearer of the word in through one ear, out the other, or we hear it. Ah, that sounds good, but we don't do anything with it. We deceive ourselves, James says. But then also the fact that our faith, there must be evidence of life. Scientists are trying to find out if there's life on Mars and if there's life on the moon and there's life on other planets. I'm wondering if God is looking at His church saying, where's the life? Where's the life? They have this faith. Where's the life? And in James, we find out that we can have faith. But then the writer says, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so it says in James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead in itself, the World English Bible says. So we have to do something with what God is giving us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He is our helper. But He's also giving us the living word. We have it in our Bible. We have it on our phones. You have it on your computer. We need to do something with it. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 brings another verse to mind. Hebrews chapter 11. Because of the word diligent, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. That word, I'm going to jack it all up, but that word in the Greek is exatio. Exatio. It means to seek out, to search for, to investigate, even to scrutinize. To seek out for oneself, to crave, to require. Require, is it true or is it not? There's a group of people in the book of Acts. They're called Bereans. They were, Paul didn't like throw a party for them, but Paul referenced them as people who searched the Scriptures because what they heard, they didn't just, oh yeah, that's good. They heard and they looked to the scrolls, the Scriptures. They didn't have the Bible back in then. None of those Bereans can go, all right, let's go to Malachi chapter, see, let's find out what. No, they didn't have the Bible. They had scrolls. So these Bereans went to the Scriptures to verify if all of these Jesus followers are speaking truth. Man, if we can look at ourselves as that, being diligent to seek Him, diligent to know Him. Why? It is our responsibility, going back to 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, encouraging him to be diligent, but it's not just to him. It's even to the people that he's teaching, that he'll teach them that they are to be diligent in presenting themselves approved to God. So go to slide 3. This is what we're going to do today. Oh, yeah, that's right. Slide 3 was a verse that I wanted to share. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is one of my life verses, one of my favorite verses. But I just want to share with you that you just can't have a life verse and just say, I have a life verse and not apply it. If you have a life verse, if you have a scripture that just really gets you, it ought to get you enough to where you actually are applying it, you're actually walking in it, you're practicing it, you're actually living it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. My faith needs to be alive. Your faith needs to be alive, not dead. And if it's alive, there's evidence that there's life there. And go to the next slide. All right, I thought it was bigger, but sorry. So anyway, those that are online, you'll get it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to dig deep, and it's an acronym. We're going to dig deep into God's word. We're going to dissect, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 15 says, we will not remove anything from the scripture. Okay? We're not going to remove anything from the scripture. What we're doing is just the areas in our lives that don't match with scripture. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth, meaning we're going to look at God's word. We're going to dig deeper. God, what are you saying? God, what are you wanting me to do? God, what were you telling these people to do? And what are you telling me to do now? And then the areas in my life that don't fit, that don't match, going back to elementary, trying to put a square peg in a round hole. I mean, what doesn't match? And I need to get rid of those things. Why? Because scripture is telling me this. And therefore, my life needs to do this. So we're going to look at that in those 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're going to evaluate the passage with our lives. How does this passage impact or influence my life? Okay, what can we look at this passage that and evaluate that with our lives? Then we're going to engage with scripture. What does that mean? We're going to put it to the test. We're going to engage in, we're going to say, this is what I want to do. This is what I need to do. I have no idea what you need to do, how to get better or how to improve, but the Holy Spirit will show you. And then we're going to pray the scripture over our lives and our situations. God's word will never expire. Thank God. His word will never expire. His word will always stay and remain true. And his word is so powerful, it changes lives. Amen. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, you therefore, you. Point to the person next to you and say, you. All right, you therefore, my son, daughter. Okay, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I just want us to stop real quick. Be strong. Be strong. How am I going to be strong? You cannot do this on your own strength. Must be done, not on you alone. But it says here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That word grace is charis. Thayer definition says grace means goodwill or favor. Not your goodwill, not your favor, God's goodwill, God's favor. Webster's definition describes grace as this, divine assistance. I like that. I can be strong, not in my strength. I have no divine. I'm not divine. Shannon might think I'm divine. But I have no divine. I need God's divine assistance, okay, in being the strong person that God is wanting me to be. It says, there you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Webster also defines grace as virtue coming from God. It comes from God. Just the very idea of you reading scripture, understanding it, and applying it comes by the grace of God. Where any one of you are at today, any one of you, I'm meaning those of you that are over the age of 21, any one of you that are adults, where you are at today, you cannot say that you are there, that you are where you're at by your own will, by your own strength, by your own power, by your own virtue. It is all because of God in you. That's why I like that verse. Put it back up, please. Galatians 2:20. This is why I love this verse, and it's my life verse. The fact that it's no longer me, it's Christ in me, the life that I live in the flesh. You cut me, I will bleed. I'm in the flesh. I'm alive. I'm walking. I'm breathing. But the life that I'm living is no longer Rick's. It's in Christ now. And I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm living by his grace. And I can only become strong by his grace. And the same goes for each and every single one of us. You see, Holy Spirit will help you, will help me to establish a regimen where the more of Christ I learn of, the more of Christ I take in, the more of Christ that I apply in my life, the stronger I become in faith, the bolder of a witness I become in Christ, the closer I walk with Jesus. I remember the church used to sing a long time ago a little hymn about walking close to Jesus. I don't know how the song goes. I'm not going to sing it to you, praise God. But just walking a little closer with Jesus. I'm not sure if today you feel like Jesus is around the block, down the corner, and he's waiting on you. But I pray that you would just say, Lord, I want to walk so close to you that I can just hear you breathe. Lord, I want to walk so close to you that if you were just to whisper real softly, that I can hear what you're saying. I want to walk closer with you. But that only happens not because, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that you go to sleep with your head on your Bible. That doesn't happen. It happens by you coming to know who he is, learning and taking of him and applying more of him, and your faith would become stronger. You see, Galatians 2:20, I want to live a life where Galatians 2:20 isn't just a memory verse, but a verse that is applied daily through my life in him. And the key part of what I just said is in him, not because of me, but it's because of in him. And I just want to challenge and encourage you that you remind yourself, I am who I am because I am in him. He resides here in me, and he's the one that is giving me this grace to be strong, to be bold, to be a witness, to live this life for him. It's in him. It's not me. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2. Let's continue on. I already read verse 1. Verse 2 says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So let's stop there. Again, he's writing to Timothy. And he says, these things that you have heard from me, what do you think these things are? Biblical principles. I mean, he has given Timothy this responsibility of a certain place to go and teach others, to go and compel people to come to know Christ. He is to go and establish churches. So Paul is writing Timothy and he says, and the things that you have heard from me. And I thought, this is a good question that all of us should ask ourselves. What am I doing with the things that I've heard? What are you doing with the things that you have learned in, whether it's personal Bible study, group Bible study devotions, or even in a church service like this? What are you doing with what God has spoken to you? Now, I know sometimes there are some things that God speaks to you, that God reveals to you, that is just only for you. Nobody else needs to hear it. Why? Because nobody else needs to hear your dirty laundry or your dirty junk, what's going on in your own life. Nobody needs to hear that, but it's just to you. It's a personal thing. But then there are some things that the Holy Spirit, God will reveal to you, and there are nuggets of truth that you are taking with you. It's like having a sack of lunch and the food never goes bad. I wish I had some food like that never went, you know, like an apple. You take a bite of it, 2-3 bites, you put it in a bag. Later on, it's all brown and nasty where you're eating it from, where you took bites from before. But if you have a bag, and this is all day, it's that daily bread where you take a bite, you eat some of it, and it's still hot or warm, or if you like something cold, it's still juicy, it's still delicious, and it never goes bad. Some nugget of truth that God has given to you, what are you doing with that? You can be stingy with what God has given you. And this is not just materialistic things. Even some things, you see, because he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women, or faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I see this spigot and this tube. And the tube has many holes that will pour into other different vessels. And Paul is saying these things, turning on the water, that I'm giving to you, take and give to faithful men who you also will be able to give unto. And I just started to think, Lord, what am I doing with the things that you're giving to me? And how am I, besides behind the pulpit? Because my answer could be, well, I do it every time, Lord. You give me time to preach on Wednesdays or Sundays. But it was right away saying, not behind the pulpit, to another person. What are you doing with what I'm giving you as a nugget of truth that is helping your walk, that is helping you to know me, that is helping you to apply me, that is helping you to live in this righteousness? How are you sharing that? So, you know, that's something that I've, you know, wanted to just ask all of us. What are we doing with the things that God has heard? So let's go to verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What hardship am I enduring, and what am I dodging? So what is something that you had a responsibility to do, but you, quote unquote, passed the buck to somebody else? Anybody? Anybody want to shout out? An example. Teenagers, maybe this might affect you. You had to clean your room, but you paid somebody else to do it. Right? Dishes. You had, hey, you know what? You wash the dishes and I'll, you know, vacuum for a week for you or whatever. But adults, what are some things that you've passed the buck to? You've quote unquote passed the buck. You see, when you do that, none of the adults want to shout out. When you do that, what are you doing? Now, some of you could say, well, I'm being smart. I'm actually being an adult and I am, you know, prioritizing and cutting my time and actually giving stuff. No. When you have something to do, you know what you're doing? You're taking your responsibility and you're giving it to somebody else. Now, of course, in a work type setting, you are actually, I forgot the word, but you are actually, Delegating. Yes, some of you are great delegators. You're great delegators, but understand this. When you delegate somebody to do something and it reflects on you, you better make sure that person does it right. Right? It's so true. I mean, some can look at it as being lazy. You're passing your responsibility onto somebody else. This is why Paul is telling Timothy, look, what I'm giving you, do something with it. You do something with it so that you can be this good soldier. When I read verse 3, I'm seeing, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So here's another question. How good of a soldier am I of Christ? What am I dodging? When the Holy Spirit is saying something to you and you don't like it because it's telling you to stop watching this and stop doing that. You want to, you know, dive. You want to dodge and weave, dodge and weave, dodge and weave. You don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and you're going to pass it on to somebody else or you're just not going to do it at all. But I want us to just ask ourselves, what hardship am I enduring? And I just want to stop there. We who live in America, I don't believe we even know what hardship is. Because if the air conditionings were not working in the middle of summer, how many people would come to church? Yeah, I'm talking to the people online. How many people would still come to church knowing that it is hotter than hot in this room? People are still clapping and jumping around and praising and worshiping God. And you're having to, you know, reapply deodorant right after song number 2. How many of you would still come to church? But you know, there are places in this world today that people will walk. I'm repeating, people will walk 2 miles to get to church to praise and to glorify God. Why? Because there is a place to be and that there's no other place to be other than in that hut or out in the open or out or inside some, you know, steamy brick walled room to praise and to worship the Lord. So I don't believe we in America understand what hardship really means. Now, I probably would say that the churches in California are experiencing some hardship because they were told a couple months ago they couldn't gather. But it was so cool when I read an article that there were hundreds outside at Huntington Beach, California, and many people accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I think it said, if I'm not correct, you can check online, but it was over 100 people that got baptized. They took it out. You know what? We can't gather. We'll go outside. So again, we don't know the experience of real hardship. But this is what he is telling. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And he tells him why. Verse 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, another question. What affairs in this life am I allowing to distract me? You see, Paul is writing to Timothy again, and he's telling them, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Because the warfare is priority. that there is nothing in this life that they are going to allow to detour or to distract them from the warfare, from the fighting that they are engaged in. And this is how we have to see our spiritual life. That it is a struggle. There is war going on in our spiritual life. Your individual spiritual life, there is war going on. The spirit is wanting you to go this way, but your flesh is wanting you to go that way. And this happens every day. So what affairs in your life are you allowing to distract you? Allowing you to distract you from the course that God has for you, from the life, the straight and narrow that God wants all of us to walk in. It's important that we ask ourselves this. So when we're engaging in warfare, we have to see that we are in a warfare, and it's spiritual. It's not something that, well, if I go to church 10 times, then the issue will be resolved. No, unless you come to church 10 times in a row every single day to come and pray, then I could see where the situation will be taken care of. Why? Because you fought and you prayed it through, but not just because you came to church 10 weeks in a row and you didn't do anything else. But that we engage ourselves in this warfare. Verse 4 says, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. All of us who are believers in Christ, we are in the army of the Lord, that old song. We are in the army of the Lord. And in his army, God desires faithful soldiers. Good soldiers who will not allow the issues of this life, the issues in this world, to distract them from entangling in this warfare that we have, this spiritual warfare. Verse 5, it says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. To any athletes in the room, raise your hand. Or you've been an athlete many, many years ago. Anybody? Okay. All right. An athlete, it takes training. It takes putting your body into subjection where you can't eat this, or you have to get up, you know, really early in the morning and start running, or you have to train. You have to go to practice, and you have to keep going to practice, not just one time, and expect to be on the starting team. Okay. But an athlete, how about farmers? Any farmers? You've planted anything. I know Brian's a farmer. All right, so you planted something, right? Now, it's hard work, isn't it? Unless you pay somebody to, you know, till your ground, you know, then you know, some of you are like, that's good delegation. Maybe, yeah. But the time, the energy, and the money that is spent. Now, I'm just going off the cuff here, but the fertilizer, whatever lawn equipment you actually have to buy to make it easier, instead of just a shovel or a hoe, you actually, you know, buy something to till the ground, makes it a little bit easier. But there's a lot of work, there's a lot of effort that is put into farming, into sowing, into whether it's fruits and vegetables or it's just plants, some flowers, some bushes. There's a lot of work that goes into that. But what if you cut corners? What if you don't do all the work? How can you expect something to grow when you've just thrown seeds on a ground that has not been tilled and you've added some water? What can you expect? Nothing. What can you expect as an athlete? To never go to practice, or maybe when you go to practice, you're always goofing around, you're fooling around, you're never learning the plays, you're never learning even the basics of how to do this or that. What ends up happening? You don't make the team. If you've already made the team, you'll get cut or you'll ride the bench the whole year long. So it's important that we understand as we look, because I'm thinking, okay, God, you're talking, or Paul is talking to Timothy about being strong in the grace. Paul talking to Timothy about being a faithful, good soldier, about committing what he's heard and giving it to other people. Why are we discussing now athletes and farming? Because athletes, to become stronger or better, they have to be diligent. Farmers, if they want anything to produce and anything to grow, whether it's edible or just for show, they have to be diligent. We as believers in Christ, we have to be diligent. Why? Because we have something valuable living inside of us. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ that is powerful to save. We have the Holy Spirit that's within us that gives us the boldness so that other people can come to know Jesus Christ by our testimony and by how we are living. What am I doing to become better? What am I doing to become diligent? What am I doing to become the good soldier that God wants me to be? And so as we dig through this, as we dissect what's being said, as I did in verse 1 about grace, and as we actually evaluated the passage with our lives. What is this passage or content? How does it impact or influence my life? What is Paul saying to Timothy? He's telling him that what I'm giving you, you need to go ahead and find some faithful people that you can give them so that you're able to teach them. Timothy, what I'm teaching you is not just for you. What I'm teaching you is so that you could teach others. And I wanted to do that so that nobody got mad that I'm actually telling them, looking them in the face. But that's what Paul is telling Timothy. I'm teaching you these things so that you can teach them to others. This is how you become a diligent soldier of Jesus Christ. This is how you become a faithful, good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is how you become just like that farmer and that athlete who becomes diligent at becoming better and stronger at what God has given them so that they can be that good soldier. When we look through these scriptures, and hopefully, prayerfully, that you will engage with them, that you'll see, as we went through these seven verses, what needs to happen in my life so that it's aligned with what we just read. So we've dissected, we've evaluated, now we get to engage. Now this is the time where you look at what we just read and you're honest with God and honest with yourself and you say, what needs to happen in order for my life to align with these scriptures? And then the best of it all is you pray. Pray the scripture over your life and over your situation, whichever one of them might be. If it's, Lord, I am dodging and weaving what you're telling me to do. You have a call on my life, and I've been dodging and weaving it ever since I knew that you were telling me to do this. I knew that you were telling me to go there. I knew that you were saying this to me, and I've been dodging and weaving ever since. God, forgive me, but I no longer dodge and weave. I will endure the hardship. If I have to let things go, I'll let things go. If I have to change my job, I'll change my job. But God, I will not dodge and weave from what you're calling me to do anymore. And you begin to pray that verse. This is one of the great things about how scripture is powerful. It is alive, that when we're reading and when God is speaking to us and we're engaging with that scripture, some of you are probably having to arm wrestle, or maybe the scripture's got a firm chokehold on you, not to kill you, but just a firm chokehold to get your attention, and you're engaging with scripture. What am I not doing that scripture's telling me to do? And then you pray that scripture over your life. I'm so thankful that God's word does not expire. I'm so thankful that God's word is powerful enough to change my life. The last slide, please. There are many ways to cut a pizza. Now, those of you that are saying the bottom one is wrong, you are not from the North. I have not been in any place in the South that cuts their pizzas like this, but you're missing out. Next time you order a pizza, you tell them you want it cut, especially like Domino's and some of the other places here in town, the franchise places. You tell them you want it Chicago style cut. They're going to cut it like that. Okay. Now, of course, New York, they might say, nah, I want the pie, you know, so you could fold it up like a boat and eat it the right way. Listen, the right way to cut a pizza, the correct way, is based on the one who makes it or the one who buys it. Okay, so whichever one you want to say, I say it's the one who makes it or the one who pays for the pizza, however they want it cut. But I show this to share this with you. Life has many ups and downs. One thing's for sure is that the ups and downs don't last. Our objective today is learning how to rightly divide the word of truth, how to cut it. And when we cut it, to dig deeper and to look at it, we evaluate what's being said in the context of when it's being said. And then we're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. And then we engage with that scripture. After we've evaluated what's being said, what's going on, we engage with that scripture and say, okay, what am I not doing? Because the importance is not how I feel, not what's going on in my life. What the importance is what is God's word saying, and what do I have to do so that my life is aligned with that verse or with that passage? And then you pray it. Want to know why? Because you don't have it. The grace is not yours. The power is not yours. The assistance comes from God. It's divine. It's God's help, by God's power, by God's strength, by God's Holy Spirit, that you will be able to begin to walk and live according to that verse, whichever verse it is. It is with God's help that we can walk what He is saying how to walk. Amen. lastly, I just want to share this, the benefits of reading God's word. I have it at the end of my sermon and we have a couple minutes, but the benefits of reading God's word. Romans 10, 17, your faith will be increased. Your faith will be added to when you read God's word. Now, this is true also whether or not you believe the word or not, because God's word will not return void. One day, the seed, his word that has been sent out will have its perfect work. I heard God's word preached to me when I was younger and I didn't want to listen to it. Then I gave my life to the Lord. Then I went back into sin, went back into live however I wanted to live. But may I tell you what, that word that was given to me or that I heard that was planted in me years later came, the fruits of it came. And I was so thankful that God allowed me to be alive to actually apply his word and become a believer in Christ. Another benefit of reading God's word, you get to know about his love letter to you. It is his love letter to you. The truth will convict you. The truth will reveal the dirt that you have on your face, and the Holy Spirit will reveal God's plan that you have. This is what God's word does. It tells you that you have some dirt on your face. You got some sin in your life and you have to do something about it. The truth will set you free is a benefit of reading God's word. And the fact that there's a benefit in reading God's word, it reveals Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 1 says that he is the word and that he came to life. He is the light and he is the word of life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, God, that we would choose to become diligent. Lord, I pray that if your Holy Spirit is revealing to us that we are not diligent in reading your word and studying your word to show ourselves approved, Lord, that we would take that verse, that we would pray over it, Father, that with your help, Lord, we would become even more diligent with your word so that we can be able to know you, be able to walk closer with you, be able to walk in the power and the anointing that you have for us. We thank you, God. To you be the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.